Major news breaking at the Algorand Foundation that nobody, for some reason, is picking up. This is kind of wild. We're going to talk about this in the Algorand land and Hedera and kind of talk about the missing link that I think is not being talked about. We're going to get into all that on today's FrugalBC live stream. Welcome to the show. And only a few of you right now. That's okay. You know, I move times, and when you move times, YouTube doesn't like that. And I think a lot of people, maybe I didn't do a good enough job publicizing that I am moving to the 11 a.m. slot instead of 10:30. Gives me a little more time to get things ready in the morning. There's a lot to do in a live stream. I've been using AI to generate my thumbnails because, frankly, it's better at it than me. But it makes a lot of mistakes. So it doesn't necessarily take, it actually takes more time. It would take less time if it were reliable, but it's not. So that's what we got going on today. We're going to dive into, I shared a video yesterday and it got a decent amount of views, I think, about the foundation announcing, kind of covertly announcing that they're going to be increasing fees. I'm a little shocked that the rest of the ecosystem didn't seem to pick this up. I saw nobody talking about this. I don't understand it. It's got to be the biggest news drop in a long time. Maybe everyone's down because the crypto markets are crashing again. we'll just get into our segment today. But a lot of people not here. And so I'm kind of surprised, though. A lot of my regulars just kind of stopped showing up because of the new time, even though most of them came in toward the end of the broadcast. So I don't know what to tell you, but I guess we can just get right into the markets. Before we do that, early on, if you would love, I'd love you guys to hit that like button, and that really helps grow the stream, get it to more people, get more people in on the conversation. You know, this is more fun. Live streams are more fun the more people are involved. So if you hit that like button, like I always say, you don't have to smash it. You know, you can just press it ever so gently, and it works just fine that way too. And we're gonna give a shout out to Haystack. We'll talk about them a little more when we get to the segment. I'll talk about a partnership that did not work that I think might have been a scam. I don't know that for sure. No defamation. But we'll get into that because I think it's worth sharing. I get so many emails about all these partnerships when you're a YouTuber, and I'm not that big, 6,500, you know, it's more than most people get, I suppose, but it's also still, you know, I think it's when you get around 10,000 or more, that's when you really start getting attention from sponsors. And you get sponsorship stuff all the time, and most of it, I assume the mass majority of it, is a scam. This one, I walked through this. I took some steps to verify, at least I thought I verified, that it was not a scam. I don't know that. I still think it might have been a scam attempt. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about that before our Algorand segment, I think. But for now, let's get into the market. And if you're optimistic, this is definitely buy territory. Oddly enough, we're only down to 23. So this is very interesting to me, right? Because Bitcoin's sitting at under 66,000. And the last time it was at 65,000, we were at like a 3 for fear, the fear and greed index, which means it's about the most extreme that you can get as far as fear and greed is concerned. And I think it's because we had just dropped there. Now people are getting used to the idea that this is sort of, we're kind of into the bottom territory. I heard this guy on a crypto podcast speaking about how and I think this is a smart way to think about it. This is kind of how I think about it. You really shouldn't think about bottoms, but you should think about bottom territory, because that's the idea that you're going to call the bottom perfectly is almost impossible. So what you want is kind of identify a range that Bitcoin might be in. And, you know, sub 50% drop, I think that's pretty fair to say. When you're around that territory, it's fair to say that's probably a good bottom signal, where you're in bottom territory. It could go lower, of course, but if you're dollar cost averaging in, which is what you should do, this is generally a good territory. So I'm definitely making some buys in anything sub 70, I think. Even sub 75 is probably still pretty good until the next run up. Whenever that comes, who knows? You know, it's a very different world these days. But I think a reliable signal is these huge drops in Bitcoin. And Bitcoin, Ethereum, I think everyone else is, it's a crapshoot, to be honest. Maybe not Solana. I think Solana will probably pump again. But let's go down. Let's see. In fact, why don't we just... First off, who's anyone winning on the 24-hour? Yeah, we got Canton up, being a little bit of a counter mover there. Stable at the very top. Solana seems to be up there. It's very interesting. And so is MemeCore. Have 30% on the week. We'll look at the weekly yet afterwards. Even Ondo actually up on the 24-hour. That's a surprise. You don't see that one up there very much. Just is, yeah, we're talking like a little bit. Most things are down right now. And on the weekly, yeah, like I said, MemeCore at the top, followed by BitTensor, DEX. We're Liberty Financial at 5%, Artificial Intelligence 5%, Unisud Leo 3.76%. Unisud Leo tended to be a market mover. I don't know if that's been the case lately, but it tended to be a counter mover. And yeah, Ondo 2.5% on the week, outperforming a lot of other tokens, stable at 2.1%, and even Stellar making the top 7-day gainers. At number 9, and then followed by Dash. And that's pretty much it. It's kind of, we were talking like less than, Dash is like less than 1% up on the week. That's about the best we could do. Why don't we look at 24 down? Who's the worst? Siren. Yeah, this is one that was popping up earlier in the week. EtherFi down, WorldCoin down, Morpho down, Kite, Jupiter, Filecoin, Midnight, Toncoin, and even Solana at number 10. And look at Pudgy Penguins number 11, by the way. My girlfriend sent me a Pudgy Penguins meme, and I was a bit shocked by it. I'm like, wow, this is Pudgy Penguins, I think, really hit mainstream when my relatively non-crypto girlfriend, although we're working on that, got in, sent me a Pudgy Penguins meme. I thought that was pretty awesome. Falling on the weekly, we've got Decred, WorldCoin, EtherFi, Polkadot, Morpho, Say. These are all more than 10% down, by the way. ICP, Jupiter, Near Protocol, those are really low levels, and Quant. Even Trump sitting in there. Trump just under 10% down, so not a lot that's up. Yeah, even Algo sitting at barely 8 cents. Down 10% on the week. Rarely see that on the top 10, either up or down on either. So it's interesting to see that. VUCA, oh, sorry, VUCA, I know I tried to pronounce your name before and totally screwed it up. Says number, he's first. Yes, first comment. Yeah, I'm surprised the comments have been so quiet lately. You know, we love comments. Ooh, we got a second. Starting at Savvy Snail says, is number 2. Let's go. Let's keep going. Let's keep that going. Wow, let's get some comments in here. We got to get a little activity going on. Doesn't have to be first, second, third, but you know, it gets the ball rolling, so that's fine. But yeah, nothing to get too excited about in the markets. If you're looking for an entry, that's probably a good time. Usually, when you have a nice pullback, that's a good time to enter on something you have long-term conviction on. If you're a trader, you're probably holding back a little bit because we're slightly in oversold territory, but not really anything too extreme yet. And then altcoin, Bitcoin, just kind of in the middle. Never really had an altcoin season, did we? I mean, we had a little pump up at the end of 2024. VUCA says, did you see Avagachi? I've heard about that. I don't know much. One thing I noticed in crypto, there's a lot of Tamagotchi Pokemon copies, and I know people really love Pokemon, so I guess I kind of get it, but I do think it would be nice if people did something new, something fresh. That's why I like Pudgy Penguins. You know, it's kind of its own thing. I guess you could say, you know, there's other penguin stuff, but it seems like a different kind of a thing. And I guess they got some partnership with Walmart, which I think is kind of neat. They're really kind of entering the mainstream. And I thought it was interesting. They came out with a game and they said, I heard the founder on a podcast talking about this. Like, they really wanted it to be like the stuff first. And then the crypto stuff is kind of like an additive if you want it. I think that's the smart way to go. I think if you put the crypto stuff in people's face, they're just not into it. So I think Pudgy kind of setting the roadmap for how a lot of these projects should operate. So like the crypto game for Pudgy is like, you just play the game. You don't have to, you could never touch the crypto stuff if you want. I think some of the Algorand ones were doing that too. In fact, I believe you could play the old Fractal Monsters game, and you can play the new Fractal Monsters TCG, which is like a, you know, a collectible card game type of a game. I haven't played it in a while. It was pretty fun. I do have to say, I reached out about sponsorship and didn't hear a word. I thought that was kind of crappy. It's like, I don't, you know, you don't have to be a sponsor, but you could at least reply and say, hey, sorry, not this time. I think it's a little rude, but that's just me. Let's go to the Haystack app here. And look, more red. Now, Haystack, this is the number one way to trade on Algorand for sure. If you're looking to do some trading on Algorand, this is your ticket. This is your ticket right here. And look, we got money coming up, 71%. This is by the same team around Akita Inu, or I don't really understand the app. I've seen it talked about a little bit. Now, they do this thing where they boost. So, Savvy Sales says, hope everyone enjoys their weekend. Busy, busy here. Thanks, BC, as always. Thanks for stopping in, Savvy Snail. I appreciate that. And So Haystack does this thing where they allow boosts. So the top three will be, or not all necessarily top three, but the top ones, you'll see these yellows. These are up here because they paid to be up here. So going underneath, we got Algorand. They include USDC and T-Algo. All the governance ones are up here, which I don't love, to be honest, but it is what it is. I think it's interesting to see the difference between T-Algo and X-Algo, because that price difference is quite a bit different, isn't it? Very interesting. Let's see. Alpha Arcade taking a 12%, 12.5% bath on the week. Haystack up a little bit on the day and kind of holding steady on the 24-hour. Oh, this is 1 hour. Sorry about that. Folks Finance popping up a little bit after some drops. Actually, 30% up on the week. So a little dip buying opportunity people had. Tiny sitting at 0.2 cents, down a little bit on the week. Pokegold kind of taking a bath. A lot of red on the markets. Donkey down 14%. That was actually rising for a while there. Remember Pheasant Pluckers. I swear to God, that's a tongue twister. I'm going to get that wrong and say it wrong at some point. Sitting at 11% down on the week, 17% up on the 30-day, which is the only one other than Haystack that's up on the 30-day. Otherwise, yeah, just a lot of red, you know? A lot of red. And I'm not seeing a lot to get excited about here, which doesn't really surprise me based on what we have been seeing. Anyway, you should definitely check out the Haystack app. I think I forgot to put that in my description again. That's one thing I have to work on. But definitely check out the Haystack app. You can actually use it on the web, but it's designed to be mobile first. And they have like an auto compound feature that's a lot of fun. They just announced it's kind of like a, actually I don't really fully understand it. I think we'll talk a little bit about it, but it looks like you can just bet on stuff like ETH gas, the whole of Algo ASAs, I think. Let's see how it works. Actually, we'll just look at this. How do PVP markets work? All deposits go into a shared pool. Winners split the pool based on their share. Pick a side. Will the price go up or down before the market closes? Yeah, so it's basically a prediction market for some of these things. Might not be super explanatory. I guess you're just betting up or down on these. Not necessarily an amount, but will it close up? Will it close down? Fear and greed. You got Tesla, Algo. That's pretty interesting. I don't know. Definitely interesting idea that they added. But I think stuff like the auto compounder, I'm more interested in that. I still have to, I've been meaning to talk to John to see. I don't really understand how it works. I don't think mine is working. But interesting. So yeah, let's go over to SaucerSwap and look at some HBAR tokens. HBAR sitting down under 9 cents now. Starting to look like Algorand, although Algorand's starting to look worse. So maybe not like Algorand, but it's funny that they're both competing for the same price, even though HBAR has 5 times the supply, total supply, and a lot of it's out. But down 2.5%, which is pretty similar, around 2.5 to 5% across the board. Let's see, I'm skipping things that are not, you know, that are just wrapped assets. Yeah, like Bonzo down 3.5. Dovu down 3.6, BSL down 7.3%, Gib up 30%. That might be on the Kraken news, but that's a big 24-hour gain. I hope you guys are taking some profits. If you own that one, you definitely want to make sure to do that. Like I said, skipping any wrapped assets, any synthetics. Mouth at 2.4%. HST down 2%. You know, so the funny thing is, a lot of these HTS assets are holding up better than the main cryptos. Kind of interesting. They're down, but they're not down as bad as a lot of them are. Remember, Algo's down like 10%. Well, no, that was the weekly. I don't know what it was on the 24-hour, but yeah, you know, like I said, not much outside of that pattern where they're just kind of down 1% to 2%, except for DOSA. DOSA down 12%, CentX down 6%, and something called Suit is actually up 2.4%. These are all Hedera assets, by the way. And let's see, Hurt 3.3%. Did we see that one before? I don't remember that one. And there's our stick bug. Stick bug is down 2.67%. Liquidity 583. I just love me some stick bug. I love it. 583. It's not even $1,000 in liquidity. So you cannot, if you wanted to buy $1,000 of this, you'd be kind of screwed. You hit that Aave issue, if you remember that. All right. Well, anyway, if you're watching, if you have not hit the like button yet, definitely give that a smash or a gentle press, as I always say. You can do that. Don't actually have to smash it. It works just fine that way, too. And be sure to subscribe to the channel if you're new here. We like to have new subscribers. You can see our live streams Tuesday and Friday at 11 a.m. now, not 10:30. I need to update my banner. That's a good reminder. But at that time, we go live on X, on YouTube, and on Kick. By the way, we can get comments from any of those platforms, so be sure to leave a comment if you're watching on any of those platforms, and we will respond. Yeah, so I want to talk about... let me pull this up. I have to kind of remember the name. Before we get into our Algorand segment, I just kind of want to talk about this because I found this a little... Oops, here we go. Yeah, I found this a little disturbing. I'm going to pause this. I got a message from these guys with an offer, and I always assume, my first assumption is that when I get a sponsorship offer reached out cold, I assume it's fake. So, and they... One of the things I identify, do you link to your actual information? And if the person says they work for something, I want to see a listing on that company's website. What was interesting is I actually reached out. I said, okay, I just followed you on X, follow me back. You know, and I thought, well, they have a verified account. So if they actually get back to me, I'll know it was really them, because I've had people reach out claiming to be with an exchange. I go to the exchange. There's nobody by that name in their staff listing. I know it's fake. This one, they actually followed me back. We messaged each other, and I had them send me the offer. It was pure affiliate. The affiliate sounded really good. They do crypto tax reconciliation, so it's not like it's not exactly a tax accounting service, but it's more like the crypto part of it. They will fix for you, if that makes sense, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I'm like, okay, I'll check this out. And turned out to be, so what happened is I got this platform link, and I tried to go to the link, and it just simply did not work. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So I reached out and said, yeah, well, I get the link, doesn't work, whatever. He said, the guy from Countdown Sheep said, hold on, I just tried it. It seems to work. So I tried it. I opened it up on mobile. It actually worked. And then they wanted all this personal information. They had all these things for, like, you know, social security number, phone number. I'm like, no freaking way am I giving that to them, right? Not a chance. I don't know. I'm still always operating on the sense that these guys could be scams. You got to be careful. And I went to it, and I went back a few days later, and the password that I created for this thing, I made sure to use, I used like an Apple Smart password, because I didn't want to like use one of my passwords in my scheme. I didn't want to give away my password to somebody. Literally a day later, it didn't work. It's like I'm locked out. I'm like, interesting. So either it's a really bad system, which is possible, or these guys were scammers. They were trying to fish my information. And so either way, will not be working with Countdown Sheep. Probably going to unfollow them, frankly. Going to do that right now, right on stream. We're going to do that. And like I said, I don't know. I don't 100% know that it was a phishing scam. Like I said, could have been just poor. They worked with a company that had really poor UI, which is not unheard of in the crypto realm. So that could be it. But I got to say, not happy. And it's just not going to work. You know, it's like, be straightforward if you're not interested. So anyway, kind of just wanted to go through that. I think it's interesting because I don't know if people realize when you're a crypto influencer, and I really kind of hate that title, but whatever. It is what it is. This is what you're up against. You're up against people who probably are trying to take your money. I'd say 99% of the emails you get for sponsorships are a complete scam. And again, I don't know that this was a scam, but it definitely didn't work out. We'll say that. Okay. Well, you guys were starting the chat a little bit, and now back to being very quiet. So feel free to chat about anything you want to talk about. You probably have a lot to say in this next segment, because we're going to get into our Algorand segment. And we're kind of going to recap. We're going to start by recapping some stuff. So, okay. So first off, Algorand just dropped huge news at its recent community call, and it's news that surprisingly went unnoticed. But we're going to dive into that. We're going to dive into some of the changes and where I think Algorand is going, plus more Algorand news in our segment coming up. So let's take a look at what we got here. And this is first up, right from the Algorand Foundation, and this takes some explanation. We're excited to announce three promotions across the foundation. Bruno Martins, formerly chief architect and twice acting CTO, has been appointed chief technology officer. Bruno will oversee protocol engineering and will bring his deep expertise in blockchain engineering, applied cryptography, and key management systems to drive Algorand's future innovations. Will Beaumont, formerly head of Parawallet, has been promoted to global head of product and integrations. Will be responsible for product strategy and solutions delivered across both business and engineering, including the Parawallet. And Brian Whippo, former head of developer relations, has been promoted to senior director of integrations and developer tooling. Brian will be responsible for developer relations and developer tooling, and will build out a new practice to help businesses, ecosystem partners, and AI agents bring new activity on chain. And so where do these changes coming from? Well, the Algorand Foundation last week, and we covered this already, announced that they were cutting 25% of their workforce. So that is a quarter of the people gone. And you know what? You know what? The blockchain is still operating. Let's not forget that. The blockchain is still operating. Everything seems to be working fine. You know, we found this with Twitter. They cut out like 80% of their staff and everything still functions relatively well. I mean, there's been a few hiccups. Even today, there's a few hiccups, but I don't know that that's a staffing issue. I don't think they're that different from before Elon's takeover. And not the only crypto ecosystem. Gemini cut out a bunch of staff. Hedera announced cuts. They didn't say exactly how many. And I had a list of them. There were quite a few that actually made cuts recently, probably partially due to market conditions and partially because I think a lot of these companies just overbuilt. I think they treated like a startup, like a VC startup, and I think they should have they should be treating it more like a small business. You know, start making profit. You know, the VC model is kind of like build it and they will come. And the profits will come later. Get the users first. I don't think. Well, and here's the thing. And this is why I say that Algorand is not mispriced. I don't believe in mispricing, but I still don't think it's even undervalued. And the reason I think that is because the VC model is that 9 of 10 will fail. That's the VC model. You know, if these foundations are operating on VC models where they don't have actual revenue coming in or not much of it, which is what we're going to get to, then there's a very strong chance of failure. And that's why Algorand is the price it is and probably should be that price, because there's a huge chance of failure with any of these chains. And the tech doesn't matter. You have to have usage. And right now, they don't have nearly enough usage to pay their burn rate. So cutting... I think it's a step in the right direction, getting 25% of the workforce. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean you can't feel bad for the people that lost their jobs. I mean, that sucks. But that's how business works. You know, you got to cut your burn rate when you don't have revenue coming in. So the next part is like increasing revenue. And, you know, I did a whole video about this yesterday, but the foundation is going to be bringing in, they're going to be increasing revenue, it looks like. Mark Vandalerberg said that on the community call, and it was in the question and answer section. And oddly, nobody's talking about this. I find this very strange. I find it very, very strange that nobody is talking about the fact that very likely they're going to raise fees. And I think that's smart. I mean, I totally am on board with that because you need revenue coming in. And I think you can do that by usage, but you know what? You double it, you double your revenue. You 8x it. You 8x your revenue. And they need it. They need more revenue coming in. They really need both to happen, is what has to happen. But cutting your burn rate, you know, it's just like personal finances, by the way. Not that different. I mean, it's obviously bigger and more complicated, but it's actually kind of the same too. You cut your expenses, so you're not spending as much, and then you increase your revenue, you bring in more, you get a better job, start working on a second job or have a side hustle. And that's how you go from broke or in debt to having a positive net worth. In this case, they need profits. They need revenue. And so I think that's a smart move. And this is probably related to this, the CTO product integrations promotions. They moved Bruno up instead of like paying for an expensive CTO to come in. I'm sure he got a raise, but maybe they eliminated a position behind him. You know, I'm guessing these guys moved into roles that were eliminated or, you know, into job replacing people who were eliminated last week. That's entirely possible. So I think that's worth talking about, but we got more stuff to talk about and more news. Lofty AI announced we just crossed $5 million in rent paid out to investors. Of that amount, $1.7 million was generated in 2025 alone. When we started Lofty, the idea was simple but ambitious: build the world's first real estate exchange, not a fund, not an REIT, an actual exchange where people can buy, sell, and price real estate in real time. Kind of. About the pricing part, I have some issues with them saying that. So first off, I mean, you know, congrats on building this platform. They seem to have some success at it. I have to say, as a user, I didn't like it. And maybe it's not the platform. It partially is, though. But it's not just the platform that's an issue. It's the fact that they have an automatic market maker, which means that the actual prices are not the prices. The prices are created through the automatic market maker. So you might be thinking, well, I bought $50 of this property and that property went up 20%. So my $50 token should be worth, $60 now, right? Wrong. Because the automatic market maker decides no one actually wants the token because there's so many tokens and so few investors. So it doesn't matter. It's not really RWA because it's not actually tied to the real world asset. It's become its own asset. It's divorced from the actual asset. So it's not an RWA. I actually don't think Lofty is an RWA. There's my hot take for the day. So you want to go broke, you can do this. Now, the other part is there's like all these, you will constantly be getting emails about things going wrong on the properties. Which is, as Jerry Chu pointed out to me, is exactly what happened if you owned the actual property, right? Okay, cool. So let me get this straight. I have the ability to pay $50 for a token for a property that's not tied to the real price. So I'm not going to gain the appreciation of the actual real property because it's got its own market, right? And then on top of that, I have to do all this work for a teeny tiny investment in a teeny tiny amount of rental income, most of which the time it's not paying. I had like 20 some properties separate, 20 some different properties. And I would say about 10 of them were paying rent at the time. So, and then he's like, well, you never voted. Doesn't matter. What am I going to vote for something that's going to make them suddenly start paying rent? Give me a break. So, you got to think about this stuff. This is why we do the experiment. This is why I've done the experiment. I did the Lofty experiment, and you know what? It's not a good deal for you. So, sorry. By the way, this is the same company behind Alpha Arcade, and I think Alpha Arcade is great. I think Alpha Arcade succeeded where Lofty failed, in my opinion. But anyway, I'll get off my rant now. this from Algorand. Very interesting. 107 million transactions have been processed on Algorand in 2026 so far, 1.2 million daily. The craziest part is that only $10,700 in fees were needed to generate those 107 million transactions. Yikes. All with instant settlement and all with 100% success rate. This is unreal how Algorand rails are too cheap. It's true. By the way, should give that a like. I agree. Totally true. 10,000. That's how much the foundation has brought in fees. And by the way, some of that is going to node rewards as well. So yeah, they need much, much more money. So 10xing would not be out of the question. It would be minuscule because the fees are so ridiculously cheap already. You're just not going to get the volume up to make up for this. You're just not. So something to think about, for sure. Hi, AlgoFam. You can find everything in this website. Thanks for Mitchell. What is it? Some cool patents dropped recently that reference Algorand, one from the NEC Labs to build quantum proof of consensus around Algorand's consortium. Another patent references trading certificates of deposit on-chain with smart contracts and stablecoins. Some other cool ones at PBUS, USPTO. This is the patent office. Scroll down to basic search and look for Algorand. Well, maybe we'll start doing that. He's pretty smart. I'll follow him. Why not? And we should start doing this to look for more patents that reference Algorand. Why not? This is from D13. Core engineering lead at the Algorand Foundation. Does a lot of like really cool work within the ecosystem, for sure. Nobody, absolutely nobody. AlgoSurf version 2 launched. Woohoo, let's go. Let's see what he has to say about that. TLDR is performance improvements, aesthetic improvements, better mobile support, new user features, unique developer features, modernized stack to ShadeCN and TanStack query. I don't have any idea what that is. So he's an engineer. So at no point does he say, hey, this is what this does, but maybe he does down here. But I believe it's a way you can, I'm just trying to see if you actually, homepage now loads with 1,000 rounds worth of block data, show average round time and TPS over 45 minutes, come straight from AlgoGod in milliseconds. So basically a chain explorer. Sounds like a pretty powerful one. That's cool. So if you want to check out AlgoSurf, you can learn a lot about the Algorand. I think it's similar to Allo. Definitely have to play around with that. Pretty interesting. Two more to go, I think. We'll talk about this one. Trumpets blaring. Hear ye, Algorand builders. So we're going, I guess we're going the medieval route, or the way we're speaking about things. We finally slayed that long-term wallet connect. Gremlin sessions are now rock solid. Random disconnects are gone, and your dApps are about to feel magically smooth. Update your dApp to Paraconnect version 1.5.2 and watch the magic happen. Hope everyone's doing this. He says, what about us losers on Android? He says, doesn't require an apt update. Dapps need to be on the right version. So it's this is at the dApp level. This is not like, this is not para on there. It's like, it's the dApps update to the latest version. Hopefully they all do this. The Wallet Connect Gremlin had a mass grave worth of sessions updating Kamada today. Well, thanks, Nikita. Yeah, Kamada's back, by the way. I'm not going to touch it. You know, you just don't go dark for that long. You just don't. And we kind of talked about this. Hey.app now has PVP, which is, it's basically like a prediction market. Seems to be exclusively for assets from what I can see. And it works just like a prediction market. You take one side of the bet or the other, whether it'll go up or down. It's pretty interesting, I think. PvP mode on Haystack, Algorand trading infra chiefs getting better while nobody's watching, says Nikita from Kamada. Interesting. Seems like there's an opportunity there. What are the odds that Algorand's going to be down on any given day? You could just spread out this, take the spread and, you know, interesting. Maybe I'll have to experiment with that. Maybe it'll be my next experiment. Yeah, I think that's all I want to do. I think that's the end of our Algorand segment today, and I think you got to pay attention to this. This fee thing is going to be big. Project King Safety should be out in a month, and we'll get some clarity. Clarity Act, right? Little reference there. We'll get some clarity around what the future of Algorand is, because also it's not just for revenue for the chain, but it's also to make sure they can continue staking rewards. Can't really add staking rewards if they don't have revenue, and you're just not going to make that much off of fees right now. So if you actually have a decent amount of money coming into fees, you'll actually get decent rewards for running a node. So there you go. There's our Algorand segment for today. All right. Audience has grown. I like to see that, but you guys are really quiet. I thought I'd have more comments in that section. If you have not already, I know I say this like a million times a stream, so forgive me, but if you haven't hit the like button already, very much appreciate that. That helps. It helps the channel a lot. In fact, how many likes do we have? Let's get a goal. Let's get a goal here. 15 likes, so I think we can get that up to 20. Let's get that up to 20 likes. If you don't mind, I'd appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who's hit the like button so far. You guys are awesome. You guys are super helpful. You guys, wow, what was that? Jeez. You guys are helping grow the channel, so I appreciate that. If you are new, of course, we'd love to have you back again. So please hit that like and subscribe button. You hit the subscribe button. You can see we live stream on Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. now. And, of course, we post clips during the week, so if you're not a live stream person, you'll rather just see the clips, you can do that, too. Well, why don't we get to... Got a Hedera segment for you today. No Chainlink or Polygon today, but maybe in a future video. Let me get a little water. Yeah, I suspect it'll take a little time for people to get used to the new time. You change things up a little bit, and people, you know, it throws people off. I get it. Maybe they tune in, they think, oh, you're not there, but And let me know if you're watching on live, or I'm sorry, if you're watching on the mobile version, the up and down, the vertical version, or the horizontal on YouTube. I'd love to hear that. And shout out to anyone watching on Kick or watching on X. Appreciate you watching there too. We got an audience on both of those. I'm going to start the Hedera segment next. Let's see. We'll start right with that. One more drink of water. I got it where I almost don't make noise. Well, the Hedera Governing Council just got a little speedier. There was already a partnership with McLaren Racing for their digital innovation hub, but now McLaren is officially part of the Hedera Governing Council. We'll look at this to start off our Hedera news segment. This right from McLaren Racing, right from Hedera, I should say. McLaren Racing has joined the Hedera Council to advance digital innovation. As one of the most recognizable motorsport brands, McLaren Racing brings deep expertise into consumer applications with a fan base that spans hundreds of millions of viewers across 180 countries, helping advance trusted, scalable digital fan engagement. I just heard the Acquired episode about Formula One. It was a pretty good episode. They do really good work. They have a couple that I didn't think were very interesting. The Rolex one, I think you would really have to care about watches to find it interesting. But this is a big partnership. This is a lot of visibility for Hedera. The Hedera logo is on the McLaren F1 cars. You know, each team has two cars. It's a little bit buried. Not one of the more prominent ones. You have to kind of look underneath a little bit to see it, but it's there. I know Tezos had been sponsoring a car. Algorand was sponsoring. I don't know if they still are, but it was the electric one. What did they call that? The e-formula or some crap like that. I don't know. But of course they would, right? But Hedera getting a McLaren, you know, that's going to be front and center. A lot of people are going to see that. And look at this, a little race car, little ghosty race car from Dead Pixels. I like it. Anyway, they just keep adding like these big brands, and they're adding a lot of non-tech brands. Now, you could argue, of course, McLaren, a lot of technology obviously goes into these Formula One cars, but you know, you don't really think of them as a technology brand like you would Google or LG or IBM or Dell. But I think it's good. They expanded out to FedEx. They expanded out to McLaren. And I think that's going to be huge for them going forward. But anyway, that's just one of our many news items. Oh, you went to all bookmarks? Why would you do that? This just announced USDC deposits and withdrawals are now live on Hedera. This is coming from Kraken listing. So Kraken just announced that they are, bringing on a bunch of Hedera native tokens and Hedera EVM. So they just made that expansion, and now USDC is going to be a part of that. We had Dovu on there. We've got Gib on there. PAC is on there, I believe. Just adding all these different HTS tokens, Hedera native, as they call them. Now USDC is on there. That's a big deal. That's what you want to see. You want to see that more for the chains that you like. That means more liquidity, more swappability, etc. I thought this was kind of interesting from BCN News, or BCS News, I should say. Hedera has just launched Agent Lab, a fully integrated browser. Is there noise on there? No. Fully integrated browser-based environment that lets developers build, run, and interact with AI agents on Hedera in minutes. The platform supports no code, low code, and full custom development, removing the technical barrier that has slowed on-chain AI agent adoption. I kind of think it'd be fun to play around with this. It looks a little confusing. I see some code there. I can do a little bit of Python coding, but these days, I mean, I mostly use Codex and ChatGPT to do any coding anyway. But yeah, Agent Lab, that's pretty cool. I think this is one thing I like about Hedera is like when they want to signal that they're they're really bullish on something and they want to signal a use case, they actually create a lab around it. Like there's a stablecoin lab, there's an agent, AI agent lab. I think that's really smart.
I'm listening.
And speaking of the Kraken news, our good buddy here, King Solomon, had a little session about Kraken and Bonzo, Dovu, Gib, Hashpack, and SaucerSwap. Why don't we listen in and see what they had to say?
Everyone listening, there's never been a better time for you to be crafting on Hedera. It's absolutely booming everywhere. Enjoy AI, enjoy marketplaces, enjoy collectibles, enjoy McLaren.
Maybe the other DEXs out there aren't our competition. Maybe it's the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. And
oops, sorry, this came from... surprised you didn't talk about it. This is the HBAR bull, right? I'm kind of surprised. I thought he didn't like mention that. It made it sound like it was his own video, so maybe I'm wrong about that.
And onboarding new RWAs.
And I think the Kraken aspect of it is so important because all that does, it just gives us a license to hunt for new community members and users.
Hedera being positioned well from a technical perspective, I could see that being one of the bigger advantages that Hedera has for sure.
Once you're listed, you still want to keep going to bring those users to your ecosystem.
Everyone listening, there's never been...
Okay, I guess it actually was his video. It was a little confusing, you know, him and the HBAR bull together on that one. Yeah, I think that's a big deal. Keep an eye out for that. Don't sleep on that for sure. Well, CryptoGenics just released its most popular RWA coins, and lo and behold, Hedera on the list at number 4. VeChain actually the top one, which is interesting. I haven't heard a ton about VeChain lately. It's been very quiet. This EL, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what ZBCN is. So then we got HBAR, we got AVAX, HTR, don't know that one, XLM, and Algo's on there too. A little farther down than Hedera. Looks like about half of what Hedera has. Then ICP, then Token, GFI, DIA, and Injective Protocol. I've heard of that one. Interesting. And we're going to look at this thing from Lehman Baird, little talk from him. The real magic of Hedera isn't the technology, it's the values behind it: speed, security, fairness, and sustainability. These principles don't just guide the network, they shape the entire community building on it. At HederaCon 2025, Lehman shared what that magic is, and I will share that in a minute. When my ex stopped freezing up, which it just did, which is annoying. Okay, give me a second. I just need to... Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Well, that's great content, isn't it? I love it when stuff just freezes up when you're in the middle of a live stream. I think it was Pat Hardery who used to make fun of me for having too many tabs open. I don't think I had that many tabs open, though. What happened to the days when you could just, like, force crash something, force close something? Apparently you can't now. All right, well, I guess I have to end the Hedera segment because... You've got to be kidding me. By the way, I am one part. I am one part away from my new PC, and I should probably buy that today because this is getting ridiculous. Anyway, Everyday Algonaut says horizontal on YouTube. I'm just curious if anyone's actually receiving it on the vertical. They should be. I guess it was Mac that lets you like force quit something, and apparently Apparently, you're unable to force... Oh, here we go. Yes, close them all. We might save it yet. We're not done yet, guys. Stay tuned. The clipping is going to be super annoying because I have to cut that whole like segment out. We're so close, guys. All right, I'm cutting that out. So close. Okay, here we are. What? All right, let's give a listen. This is Lehman Baird talking about the principles, the magic behind Hedera.
The ledger itself, the platform, is just the plumbing. The real magic is what you build on it. It's what you do with it. It's what you are working with each other about that is the real magic of Hedera.
Well said. And, you know, maybe a long wait to get to that one little segment, but I think that's pretty cool. I think it's perfect. You know, this stuff is just the plumbing. I think you said it just perfectly. You know, it's what you build on top of it. It's why I think the plumbing is good. It's good for Hedera. It's good for Algorand. It's only going to be as useful as what is using it. And we're seeing that, you know, I think you see that when you don't see enough getting built on top of it and using it. You know, the chain's going to suffer. You're not going to get, people think they're going to get rich on these coins. And they think, oh, it's great because of all these technical reasons. You know what? No one uses it. Doesn't matter. And Hedera is starting to get usage. The TPS has been going up. That is really nice to see. And I think they've got a lot of enterprise clients that is going to grow the platform. They're going to be building on, imagine FedEx. I mean, FedEx is now a governing council member. We talked about what they're going to do on that. I mean, that's going to be huge. You know, putting their whole supply chain, their whole tracking system on Hedera, that would be gigantic. There'd be a gigantic use case for Hedera. So I remain bullish on Hedera, and I think that's a good way to close out this segment of kind of the amazing stuff that they're going to be doing. I think Hedera has a lot of momentum ahead of it, so keep an eye on it. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, I think I've hit my limit today. Maybe we can watch. Let's see if Eleanor Tarrant has anything interesting. I'm gonna scroll in there.
Daryl, that was harder than my question. Jeez.
Daryl, the one who gets to come back.
Oh, come on. That's an easy one.
Okay. You let us know when you work for them too, Gerald.
Yeah. I'm about to get an angry text from the SEC. Like, all righty. Well, banks are starting to experiment with tokenized deposits, as we know, because TradFi and DeFi are converging. But it's just another way to bring money on chain. And companies like BitGo and Matter Labs are building the infrastructure to make it happen. So joining us now to break this down and tell us about a new partnership in order to make this happen is co-founder and CEO of Matter Labs and the co-inventor of ZK Sync, Alex Glukowski. Yep.
Welcome on, Alex. Morning. How are you?
Hi, Alex.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Alex, is it Glukowski or Glukowski?
It's Glukowski.
Glukowski. All right.
There we go. Good.
I'm glad I asked you. Well, welcome to the show.
Yeah. And you just announced that you are working with BitGo to help banks bring deposits on chain. Compared to stablecoin, CDs are still fairly new in the adoption phase, right? So what are you hearing from financial institutions about what they need to feel comfortable to do this? And I know last week when we spoke on stage at DC Blockchain Summit, we also talked about Carry Network doing this too. So you guys got two announcements, 2 weeks, and they're both on tokenized deposits through banks.
Yes, so the banks are obviously on the same wave of innovation. They see the progress that's happening in the crypto world, and they are now unblocked by the regulatory enablements. And they understand that this is the future. They have to embrace tokenization, and they have to connect to the global markets in a much faster way than in a much more modern way than the technologies that they're currently using. You know, many banks are still stuck largely in the infrastructure that was built in the 1970s. Many of them still run COBOL. So they are jumping from this old era directly into the world of stablecoins and instant settlement, 24/7 markets. And they have a much more conservative stance compared to the other players in the crypto world with regard to what they can and cannot do. And the requirements from the banking side are, frankly, which was surprising to me, are a lot stricter. And a lot, they're doing a lot deeper technical diligence on how the systems actually work. What are the underlying trust assumptions? How is privacy actually preserved? Is it, you know, they're not comfortable with claims and with promises. They need to see the proof. And this is what we bring them with Prevediums.
That's the whole game in crypto, by the way. Everyone's just absolutely sick of promises at this point. It was great 5 years ago, even still kind of acceptable. Now people are over it. It's like, show me the money. You know what I mean? It's like Jerry Maguire up here. Show me the money. Show me what you're actually doing, not what's going to happen in the future. Because like we've been hearing about the future for a long time.
And zero knowledge proofs. So maybe we have to unpack the both announcements, the Carry Network and BitGo, what we're doing there exactly. Carry Network has been founded by the amazing Jim Ludwig, who was a former controller of the currency, which is the highest regulatory body in the U.S. For banks. So he's understanding, he's a legend in the banking world. He understands the requirements and the whole industry very, very deeply. And it's the first time where five banks together are coming in the first step to bring tokenized deposits and have interoperability between them. The efforts we've seen earlier were a single bank doing this for their own tokenized deposits. And multiple banks is what creates the network. You know, when you have a single bank, it's not very far from just being the customer of this bank. But when multiple banks come together, this is where the network starts forming, and you really have the interoperability and 24/7 going beyond a single institution. So for everyone who's watching, tokenized deposits are very similar technologically to stablecoins. You can think of them as stablecoins issued by a bank. The difference is how they are treated legally. A tokenized deposit is treated the exact same way as a normal deposit. So it has the FDIC insurance, it has all of the properties of a normal deposit with regard on how it can be managed by the bank. And it stays in the infrastructure, in the security perimeter and AML perimeter controlled by the bank, but it can go beyond if multiple banks join the network.
By the way, you can't see it, but I see someone down below in the comments saying reject Coinbase. And apparently there's a lot of drama around Coinbase and the Clarity Act. I haven't actually looked into it, why people are so mad about Coinbase. So if anyone in the chat knows, I think the Clarity Act, the main thing is to get it passed because it can get changed in the future, but if it doesn't, if you don't get something on the books, you don't have something that you can change later on. And I guarantee you, after the midterms, it's going to be almost impossible. I don't think the Dems are going to go for it. I don't know why. I don't really know why that ever became a right wing, left wing issue. It's very strange to me. Nobody was really talking about crypto and politics for the most part, other than a handful of people. And then all of a sudden, like, Republicans kind of decided, hey, there's a voting bloc that we can attract by being pro-crypto. And they did. And then, of course, the Dems decided to be against it because the Republicans are for it, which is how it always works that way. There should be some things that I think Dems and the GOP can both agree on, and that's just not how it works. If one likes it, the other one decides it doesn't. This is the way politics is, I guess.
And because it's the same technology as the stable coins, you can also interoperate further. It's the bridgehead which enables the banks to extend to.
Right. Alex, if they're so similar, do you see tokenized deposits maybe taking on a larger role than stable coins in the bank world, at least? Do you think banks will lean into tokenized deposits more than stable coins in the future?
I think it's a lot easier for banks to start with tokenized deposits. So the requirements they have are they need to preserve privacy. They are obliged by regulation and legislation to keep the transaction data of the users private and their accounts private. And today on the public chains, this is not really possible. Specifically for deposits, displaying inflows and outflows of a bank has been flagged by regulators as a systemic risk for the banking system because it could provoke bank runs. So privacy is one. Two, they need to preserve full control over their part of the infrastructure. So many banks would not be comfortable today of going on the public chains, even if those provided privacy, because they have internal forces. As I said, they are very conservative. So it's still harder to convince a banking compliance and risk department to embrace blockchain technologies. What we offer them with Prevedium really satisfies all of the checks. Like the Prevedium is really loved by compliance and risk people because they it works internally very similar to an internal banking system, with the difference that you have the connection to the global crypto world.
Alex,
and yes,
I was going to ask, what is compelling like smaller regional banks in the U.S. to step into this? Because a lot of times in these headlines, not necessarily in this instance, but like across the board, it's always like really big banks. But right now it's regional banks, right? Which is interesting.
I was also surprised that the regional banks would move faster. And the reason for this is they need connectivity. They need to come together. They need alliances more than large players. And they want better rails for a settlement within the banks. Their customers have demands for 24/7. They understand that they have to innovate. The early adopters of these technologies will have a say in how the design of these protocols is shaped. And if they wait for the large players to set the terms of and the rules of the game, they will eventually pay the costs, and all of the benefits will accrue to the earlier large adopters. And I think they realize that. And a large role in that is played by the visionary leadership of Gene and the Carrier Network, who managed to build this coalition. And I know that they have a lot more banks in the pipeline willing to join the network, and we'll see this announcement very soon.
Yeah, Alex, I know this is a huge design space, and there's a lot of room to grow and do innovative things here. For our viewers, how would you compare something like what you guys are doing to the Canton Network, which I think got a lot of maybe fanfare and initial traction on being one of these institutionally suitable sort of options? How do you guys think about that comparison?
That's a great question. We hear this question a lot. And frankly, I would not categorize Canton as a blockchain. They are more like a distributed database interoperability protocol where most of their relations are managed contractually. So they do use technology
Let's look at this. Great technical analysis from the Bryce Windsor industry. TDLR, Canton is not a blockchain. Well, I don't know. Let's look. I want to see if this is right. You know what? I'll look it up at CoinMarketCap. I mean, they bring that tweet up, but that tweet up doesn't really tell us anything. Maybe if you go into it, but let's see. Canton, which is currently at number 18, with a $5 billion market cap. Looks like a uncapped, a max supply of infinite max supply. There's a $38 billion out, and it's higher. This is what I tell you guys, by the way. Everyone's like, oh, only 10 billion coins locked, so it's going to be great. It doesn't matter. Look at this. 38 billion coins out, no max supply, and kicking butt. Where's the about? Let's see. Canton Network is a layer one smart contract blockchain with configurable privacy and controls, solving for public network adoption of RWAs and TradFi institutions. The network uses a two-tier consensus mechanism for allowing an unlimited horizontal scalability of the network while maintaining full smart contract interoperability across it. So according to Elisa, Canton definitely considers themselves a blockchain. So let's see. Canton Token is a utility token used to pay application infrastructure fees on the global synchronizer, as well as to incentivize and reward network stakeholders. Yeah, of course. So it kind of works. Maybe Gabriel Shabir. Is this the guy we're listening to, by the way? I think it is. Let me see. Gabriel Shapiro. Let's see what this guy says. And yeah, if someone is on the Solana network, I definitely don't trust them. Sorry. I think they probably do have they have some stake in the game, right? Let's see. How is that spelled? Underscore Gabriel. Is that going to bring it up? Nope. Gabriel, what? Shapiro. I think that's a zero. There he is. The guy from Metalux. Let's see if we can find that. I don't know how long ago that was. March 26th. Here's the critiques. Synthetic atomicity. Canton's cross-domain transactions are not actually atomic. Atomicity. Atomicity? Is that how you would say that? Pilot report is over atomic 45 times in 43 pages. The objection is a definitionally considers important true atomicity exists within a single block on a single chain where all transactions are collectively validated, committed, or rejected together. Canton's cross-chain domain transactions span multiple independent systems coordinated through synchronization domains and sequencers. It's not real tokenization, it's blockchain theater. Privacy model means that assets cannot be independently verified, which is cannot be marketable securities. The IT bottleneck, every new counterparty relationship requires cross-firm software development. Counterparty node dependency requires new systemic fragility. That would be a lot to dig into. Well, that's interesting. I think we'd have to do a lot of work to piece that apart, but interesting to think about anyway.
Enforcing certain rules, but the privacy guarantees are essentially contractual, unless you only have a bilateral agreement between the two parties. What we offer with Prividiums is the way to access public permissionless blockchains on the terms of the institutions that are joining them. So we give them this truly hybrid solution where they have their private space connected to Ethereum and from Ethereum to every other blockchain with interoperability protocols and to the public markets on Ethereum, and privacy secured by cryptography rather than these contractual obligations. So we have zero knowledge proofs offer you a layer of integrity on top of their existing banking systems. So they have all of the security enforcement of traditional InfoSec providers that they use, but they have this layer of incorruptibility, the mathematical integrity guarantees on top, which makes this really work like a blockchain system with atomic settlement between different banks and with connection to the global markets.
Alex, you said this is already being tested. So what needs to happen for this to move into full-scale production, for this to really kick off?
It's just a matter of implementation. The work is underway, and we will see the first it's going to go live in due time as we roll out the technology. But we have a tight roadmap. Kerry has more partners to onboard, and at this point, it's just a matter of engineering the regulatory clarity has been provided and business decisions have been made. And this has significantly impacted the quality of the inbound that we are now getting from other participants now. I'm here in New York at the DAS this week. We had a lot of conversations with banks who finally see a path for them to embrace these technologies in a regulated, compliant way, which was not possible before. This is very encouraging.
Great. Well, congrats on the move, and thank you for joining us, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. I think we're going to be done with that today. Yeah, here's the thing. A lot of these devs, like, they're just not, they're not the most exciting speakers in the world. They will put you to sleep. And I thought that idea of that Canton network is not a true blockchain. I think that's kind of interesting. I've been interested in their rise. They seem to be confirming my thesis that revenue and on-chain revenue and price is connected. And they've been growing a lot on both counts. I don't know which one is wagging the other. You know, I don't know if the dog is wagging the tail or vice versa on that. You know, does price increase and that leads to more revenue? It's possible. It actually makes a lot of sense. In which case, it's not really a mechanism, right? It's more of a thing that comes along for the ride. The fact that they're correlated doesn't mean. Necessarily mean that one or the other is the driving force. You have to keep that in mind. So I'm still trying to piece that out, but I definitely see the correlation. It's very strong. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate everyone joining us live. Like we said, we post this as a podcast too. You can listen on the go to Frugal BC. And we didn't have one earlier this Tuesday because we didn't do a live, but we got one today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who hit the like and subscribe button. We appreciate that a lot.